In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the first lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in Moses' book of Numbers, in the 11th chapter, the 16th verse, and then verses 24 to 29. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders, who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you." And then at verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. The Holy Spirit endows God's people with various gifts according as He determines. We take note of those various gifts in the servant leaders who are over us, whether we have called them to public service or whether we have elected them to serve us in the congregation, or maybe we've just appointed them or asked them to take some form of leadership service in our church. The greatest gift of all, of course, is the Spirit Himself, that no matter how varied in kind and amount are those other gifts that we see in different people, all believers have received the gift of the Holy Spirit Himself freely from God and totally with all those gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that the Spirit gives. We see in our first lesson this morning that the Lord was generous with that gift of the Spirit Himself, and also by giving those who would now assist Moses in his leadership those various gifts. As I mentioned, the Spirit's gifts in those ways are not uniform in amount or in kind. That gift of the Holy Spirit Himself is totally and freely given. Now, are we always grateful and understanding of God's generosity when He gives that gift of faith itself freely and totally to all believers? Recall from our lesson last week in our gospel, from the parable of the workers in the vineyard, that the answer to that question is no. And sometimes we are jealous or envious of God's grace. We're not always happy to see some people in the last hours of their lives come to know Jesus as their Savior, when we have labored in the heat of the day all our lives as the children of God. Well, in a lesser degree, it's also true that we're not always appreciative of the variety of gifts that God gives different leader servants and to our fellow Christians now for us to use in the kingdom of God. Did Joshua appreciate the fact that God had given Eldad and Medad the gifts of the Spirit, even though they had not been at the tent, the tabernacle? Do you recall a similar circumstance in Jesus' ministry? Remember, he and the disciples were preaching and teaching, and the disciples came across another man who was driving out demons in Jesus' name. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Tell him to stop. He's not one of us." And Jesus had to remind them not to be jealous or envious of a variety of gifts in others, to not be self-important in the gifts that they had and reject others. Here's a question. Who is best suited for work in God's kingdom? Our text gives us a twofold answer. First, the one who sees the importance of the Spirit. And secondly, who seeks God's honor and the kingdom's good. Moses and the children of Israel were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land. And quite frankly, Moses was getting a little fed up with Israel's constant complaining about the conditions of the trip. Moses was feeling really burdened by the constant whining of God's people, reminding Moses of how much worse they are out here in the desert than they were back when they were slaves making bricks without straw in Egypt. But before we're too hard on the Israelites, isn't that also true of us? Don't you and I sometimes have false memories about how happy we were in our sins? How good our life was when we were rebelling against God, going our own way, and ignoring His commands in our lives. We're all well aware of the delusion, the memory of the pleasures of sin puts into our minds and hearts like it did theirs. But God listened to Moses, as He always did, and said, "If you need some help, I'll give you some help." So He said, "Gather up 70 men who are known as leaders and officials in Israel, and I'll have them be your assistants. Call them to the tabernacle, to the tent of meeting." And the Lord came down in the cloud. The glory of the Lord rested upon them, and they received a special gift of the Holy Spirit. They already had the Holy Spirit in their hearts, because they were believers. This was a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit on them as a sign to Israel and to Moses that He had chosen them and that He would give them the wisdom and the strength to aid and assist Moses in his work. And immediately, they began to prophesy. They began to speak God's word. We note, however, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. It would seem then that this prophesying at this time was a one-time occurrence. So the people would have a sign and know that these men were God's choice to assist Moses. Now, two of the leaders in Israel, Eldad and Medad, for some reason, had remained back in the camp and had not gone to the tent of meeting. The Lord had given them and endowed them with the gift of the Spirit and His gifts also, apart from the other 70. And they began to prophesy. But then someone noticed this and went running to Joshua and said, "These men are prophesying and they weren't with that band or that group in the tabernacle." Joshua seems really concerned about Moses. Joshua had been with Moses since the time he was a youth. And so in frustration about what was happening, he went to Moses and told Moses, "These men are prophesying and they weren't here. They're really trying to steal your thunder." Was Joshua really interested in Moses? Moses' question indicates otherwise. He said, "Joshua, are you really concerned about me? Are you really concerned about my leadership and what I'm doing?" Moses could have added, "I think you're really more concerned about yourself. I'm really more concerned that you feel somehow put upon or left out, or that these men are not as special as you and the other leaders who received the Spirit." Again, recall that incident from Jesus' ministry because it's very parallel. The disciples said, "That man driving out demons in your name, Jesus, he's not one of us. He's not part of our group. He's not part of our band. So go and tell him to stop." Who really is worthy to serve in the kingdom of God? Is it men like Joshua or Jesus' disciples who are concerned for their own self-importance? Who are more concerned about the work that they are doing, so much so that they don't want anybody else to do it? It's interesting that that incident of Jesus telling them to not be envious and jealous and self-important came right after the disciples had an argument among themselves who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Jesus was teaching them humility, to recognize that it was not they that were important. It's not always those who preach and teach God's Word in its truth and purity who are teaching and preaching God's Word. There are other people besides us in Bethlehem and the Wisconsin Synod who are preaching the gospel, who are telling other people that Jesus is God and that He died on the cross and paid for their sins. We dare not be jealous of our own honor or envious of the blessing that God has given us to teach God's Word in its truth and purity, or to think that we are so self-important that we are the only ones who are doing it. There are many, many other Christians out there who are not one of us, who are not in our band, who do not belong to our group, but they are out there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are going out in Jesus' name, even as they teach false doctrine, even as they allow or perpetrate certain sins that go against God's Word and God's will. But we need to remember always that the church is universal, And the person is worthy to serve in the kingdom of God, not because we're perfect in our worthiness, but through the message of sharing Jesus Christ. The Lord has been most gracious to us in giving us His Holy Spirit through the gospel to bring us to faith. And that is a gift that you and I enjoy of the Spirit with all of our fellow Christians in the Holy Christian Church. We do not apologize for preaching Jesus Christ crucified and risen again as the only Redeemer from sin, death, and the power of the devil. But we do recognize that in heterodox churches, they do preach the gospel. They do exercise Christian charity. And when they offer a cup of water to someone who is thirsty in the name of Christ, that action of love out of faith is exactly the same as when we do it. They are on our side. They are with us when they do those things, even as God's Word judges their false doctrine and their sin. Just as God's Word judges our sin and our false ideas that may begin to creep into our teaching. Who is best suited for God's work in the kingdom? It's the one who understands the importance of the Holy Spirit. That He is that gift that God gives for faith. He is the gift that God gives in His graces so that we together can share the gospel of Christ. But it is also that person who wants to honor God and who wants the kingdom's good. The one who seeks honor for self, which is very often the reason behind false teaching and sin, really doesn't understand the work of God's kingdom. The work of God's kingdom is not about what I want, what I believe, what I think should be the way it is. To have my own name honored, to have my church honored among men. The one who is worthy to serve in God's kingdom is the one who wants all the honor to go to Christ. All the glory to go to Jesus Christ. To not in any way diminish Jesus' life on earth, or to diminish His death on the cross, or to diminish His invitation to repent and believe by choosing to live my life openly in sin and in rebellion against God's Word. Such a life does not honor Christ, but such a life makes a mockery of the salvation that Jesus earned for me on the cross. To honor God means to not be jealous and envious of others' gifts, to be self-important, to think more of myself than I ought. Moses and Jesus both addressed that wrong understanding of work in God's kingdom, not only in called workers, but also in the community of saints. God is jealous of His honor and does not want Christians or churches arguing about honor in kingdom work. The Lord gives the Spirit, and the Lord gives the gifts, so that His name may be honored, and for the good of His kingdom. We don't preach and teach and share the gospel for our own good. We don't even really, in a sense, do it for the good of those who hear the word. We really do it for the good of the kingdom, for the work of the kingdom. We don't preach the gospel for our sake. We don't even really preach the gospel in a sense for their sake. We preach the gospel for Christ's sake, for the sake of what He did on the cross. that has declared the world's blessing by His resurrection from the dead. But the kingdom finds good where we, in humility and selflessness, honor God and care about those souls for which He died and whom He has declared not guilty of sin. Moses said it really well. I wish that God would pour His Spirit out on everybody. Let's don't limit the number of people who have the Spirit to teach about Christ and preach about Christ. I wish that God would pour His Spirit out on everybody. And God has. On all believers, God has poured out that Spirit on us and given us the gift of faith. His gifts vary among us, but we all have them of some kind and in some amount to use for the kingdom's good. Each of us has that gift of faith which we are able to share. We may not have the gift, for example, of being able to proclaim God's word publicly. But all of us have the gift of being able to share with others the hope that is in us because of the forgiveness of our sins that we have in Jesus, our Savior. Both of those are the work of the Spirit. The public proclamation of the gospel and my personal witness to my neighbor. And so rather than serving and having a sense of self-importance, we want to have a humble appreciation for the Holy Spirit that He works not only in our band, but He also works through people who may not be one of us.